I think some of you know that I'm a Torontonian. And when I was growing up in Toronto, there was a very popular bakery there. I think it was called Bread Man. And as many businesses often are successful, they're always under the threat of trouble. And this one went into financial trouble. And my father's friend, who was an immigration lawyer, was looking to buy it for cheap. And he wanted my father to look at it and possibly manage it. And his plan was to, if he was going to buy it, take that franchise, each one of the stores, and then he would shop it overseas to anyone who wanted Canadian citizenship. And subsequently, because my father was involved in it, I was involved with it. And my task was to go to one of the stores and start to learn the business. And I did. And I did with reservation. Now, there were many reservations, but one of the biggest ones for me was that, if you know the bakery business, they start very early. And I had to show up at 5 a.m. And so, up to that point, even to this day, I've never had a job that had those inhumane hours. And good for you if you're working that early. But anyway, one of my tasks was to prepare the bread dough in a mixer like a KitchenAid, the home ones that you put on the counter, but this one was Black Bear size and so big that it had to sit on the floor. And so I had to learn and figure out the recipe. I had to get the flour, I had to get the yeast, and whatever else I needed to put into that blender, and then get it started. And after this, the dough had to sit so that the ingredients go into action before baking. And so I never figured out what happened to my dough. I hope it was good and maybe they were able to sell it. But long story short, after that day, I went home, and when my father got home, I said to him, I'm not interested in the bakery business. And so I retired as a baker for a day and resumed a happy sleep life. Now this takes us to more baking this morning as we find a parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew 13, verse 33. And as recorded here, it is Jesus' shortest one. And yes, I chose it because it is the shortest one. And as Pastor Tommy has been taking us through the Gospel of John, we do take a break this morning. And we do this parable. And you may know that there are no parables in the Gospel of John. And this one, in terms of Jesus' ministry, sits roughly between chapter 5 of the Gospel of John and chapter 6 in terms of chronological time. Matthew 13, 33 takes us to the parable of the leaven. And this morning, may you be a hearer of the Word of God, and that you might engage with God's Word, and to be surrendered to apply the lessons it contains for you, so that you might be a doer of His Word. And this is what I want you to be ready for. This is the, as they say, the take home. There are two applicational realities that we will look at. There is more, but we'll look at two, and this is kind of a preview as we will get to it towards the end of the sermon, really at the second half of the sermon. And as you understand these applicational principles, I want you to be ready to take them into your work week this week. And the first one is, you have the unshakable promise of God, and that gives you indestructible hope. And number two, you have God who has unstoppable power, and that gives you convergent purpose. But first, I'll go through the parable, I'm going to explain it, give you some historical background, which is important to understand so that we understand what Jesus said. Otherwise, it might be harder for you to get the purpose and application of this parable. And so I invite you now to open your Bibles, because this is a parable that you need. K-N-E-A-D. That's going to be a way that you're going to remember Matthew 13:33. But anyway, Matthew 13:33 says this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. So what is a parable? Parables were used throughout the Bible, and simply defined, it is a commonly relatable illustration or analogy that has a spiritual meaning behind it. And a parable usually briefly compares 2 things together. And it is to be grasped, it is to be applied by those who have spiritual eyes that are opened by the Lord, who are seeking truth. And everybody else who is not a believer, they're not going to get it due to their spiritual indifference, or ultimately is their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that goes along to the passage that we read this morning. And so, as Jesus has said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's what we want to do this morning. If we have ears to hear, let us hear. And so Matthew states in verse 33, he told them another parable, and that this was another one of at least 39 parables that Jesus spoke in the synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And on this occasion, and on Jesus' mind, and what he communicated was the important topic about the kingdom of heaven. That Jesus repeated this parable in the Gospel of Luke, and he stated the kingdom of God. And this reference is interchangeable. So the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is the same as the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. It is the same thing that Jesus is speaking about. And so now let's move into the next segment of Jesus' statement. We take a look at that phrase, the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can't see it in the English translations, but literally from the Greek, it is the kingdom of the heavens, plural. And therefore, we know that the extent of the kingdom covers all the earth. It covers the atmosphere, the space, and the divine dwelling place of God as his sovereign sphere of rule. And obviously, where there is a kingdom, there has to be what? A king, yes. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that. He is the powerful king. He is the humble incarnate one who died on the cross so that he would dwell with his people in heaven. And he is the omnipotent one who establishes himself in his people, us. And he is the indwelling one who lives in you, you who are a Christian, in your mind, body, and soul, now because of his saving grace. And indeed, this person has entered into the kingdom of God. You, as a believer in Christ, are in the kingdom of God right now, not only in the future, because he or you heard the gospel. And this person responds in repentance of his sin, is forgiven, and is in submission and obedience to Christ the King, and is born again. So this is the big picture, that the king's kingdom will continue to be built until it is complete. And this is where all God's redeemed subjects in Christ, us, will be perfectly as one people who are united before him eternally. And so this is a very big, important subject of this parable. And in so declaring the kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells us that it has begun, it will progress, and it will grow. And then it will be complete in eternal, glorious perfection. And this is true because the kingdom of heaven is founded upon the unshakable promise of God and the unstoppable power of God. And so let's continue and let's look and move on in this parable, unfold what Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to. And it is a plain everyday item to the people of Israel in the context of this passage, and that is leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It's something that all of us are also familiar with in terms of the use of yeast for baking. In the Bible, leaven is used both literally and also figuratively in various contexts. It is referred to in passages about religious teaching, about the law, rituals, and of course, baking. And its use is also tied to biblical references that are neutral or either of good or of bad. And so if you're a good student of the Bible, you know that context determines the meaning. And in this passage, Jesus uses it, refers to leaven in a positive sense. And so Jesus declared, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now the question is, why leaven? Leaven is the ingredient, as we know, that causes our bread to be light and fluffy, so we can enjoy it more instead of having like a cracker. In Jesus' day, leaven did not come in a nice little store-bought package that you can go and get. Leaven was saved as a remnant of dough of a previous lump. And so the woman in our parable would have saved some leavened dough from the last time that she had made bread, and she brings it out this time and puts it in. And that little bit of old leavened dough, we call it mother dough. Sometimes it's called sourdough, or we call it starter. And it was all ready, and it had continued to grow acidic and ferment, and now it is hid in the flour. It was Jewish custom, and a very practical and meaningful one, for a mother in biblical days to take a small lump of dough and give it as a wedding gift to her daughter. And as the daughter started her own household, the bread that she made for her lifetime would be from that original piece of leaven handed down from generation to generation as a token of love and of blessing. I don't know about you. I hadn't, up to time I had prepared this sermon, studied or read up on the world of leaven. Let me just tell you, it is weirdly wonderful. It's show and tell time. And I'll show you how weird it is, because in this bag, and my wife didn't know I brought this, is Billy. Billy actually belongs to Carmen. She made this starter sourdough from scratch, which is pretty amazing during COVID time. She had a lot of time to bake, and she likes baking, and we had enjoyed very delicious bread. But since she went back to work, Billy has been sitting at the back bottom shelf of our fridge, so Billy might need some CPR. If you're interested, you can look at it. There's this, I don't know, this water on top or something. I didn't even want to open it. I don't know if it's toxic, but if you need a little bit starter and you want to try it out, go ahead. Ask her for permission. But anyway, in this weirdly wonderful world of leaven, there is an actual sourdough library in a small village about 140 kilometers outside of Brussels. It's the only one in the world, and it houses mother dough from over 25 countries, if you can imagine that, with over 125 of these starters, each uniquely different tasting. This one actually tastes very good, very good. And all of them in this library are numbered, and they all have personal names. And these are the names, some of the names, three of them, from this library: Roberta, Ribola, Vitus. We gotta add Billy. And the library curator keeps each of these mothers alive by feeding them. Now, in light of this, It just emphasizes to us the importance of leaven. Leaven is, as I said, an everyday common yet item, yet it is a powerful image that Jesus takes from everyday life and he uses it in this parable. And the parable continues. And this woman, we don't know how old she is. We don't know what she does. We don't know her marital status, but she is a background actress. But what this woman does is that she took and hid some of that leaven. In other words, it is mingled into the flour being concealed in her dough mix. And the leaven, once added, you can't notice it anymore. But it begins to work. And that word, if you look at verse 33 in Greek for hid, is where we get our word encrypt from. And so in a sense, you can say that this woman took that leaven and it was encrypted in the flour. Jesus tells us that the volume of it was 3 measures of flour. And historically, it's hard to determine because there are various measures of volume. However, the amount of these 3 measures is, at best guess, is around 11 to 40 liters. And Jesus' point was that these 3 measures of flour is a significantly large quantity as contrasted to leaven. You got all this flour, but you got a little bit of leaven. Conservatively, if we use 11 liters of flour measure, which is about 7 kilograms, kind of like the biggest bag that you can buy at Superstore. I think it is, anyway. It's a big one. But to give you a sense of what this is in terms of a standard size loaf of bread today, these 3 measures of flour would produce about 23 loaves of bread, which was not a small amount in those days. But that is a lot of bread to prepare, and let alone to bake, but they sure had a feast, I guess. Now the leaven is placed in the flour mix and prepared, and then the woman waited till it was all leavened. That's what Jesus said. And what happened in this process is that the leaven, which is an active, and this might ruin your view of bread after you hear this, because leaven is actually a colony of fungi. And they start to eat the flour mix in a continuous action. And after this, you might not want to eat bread ever again. As it does that, the colony is able to constantly breed. And while it breeds into a larger colony, each one of those fungus, in effect, burps carbon dioxide, which then gives some time. Given some time, makes the dough rise, it increases the volume, it gives a really nice texture till it is all leavened. And that's where we get all those bubbles, all those holes in the bread, all those different shapes. And all this background is important for us in order to understand this parable. And it illuminates and ultimately answers for us this question from the parable. And the question is, why is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven like leaven? And in this suitably small parable masterpiece, we find these 2 encouraging realities for your daily life application. And so let's digest this. Number 1, let me see if I can turn this thing. I never know how to use this. Maybe, William, if you could help me advance the, thank you, there it is. So, number 1, you have the unshakable promise of God, and that gives you indestructible hope. Why? It is because the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It has been and will continue to be established by the unshakable word of Christ. And this is the promise that we are to take note of, that Jesus used this parable and simply and clearly declared truth. He said the kingdom of heaven. He didn't have to say where it came from. He didn't have to describe it. He didn't need to explain anything. It is unquestionably here. And so Jesus simply compares it to leaven, and like leaven, despite its small start, it will accomplish the great, the victorious, and promise eternal consummation of the kingdom of God. And because of the infallible word, we are given indestructible hope as subjects of the kingdom, which will be completely and eternally established. And so let's step back a little bit and ask, what can this look like in your life? Because the kingdom of heaven is promised and continues to be built today, you are to fervently live for Jesus, serving him as his church. And the church is people. The church is you in Christ. And so, are you living for Jesus in this church? Are you serving him in this church? Are you being fruitful and faithful to Christ? And he will grant us, as we do that, he will grant us a wellspring of indestructible hope because of the promise of God. Know that the kingdom of heaven will be firmly established by the power of the King as he willed you to be the leaven. And even though throughout history there has and continues to be opposition to Christianity, and therefore we face trials, and even despite our own sincere but sometimes weak efforts, the leaven of the kingdom of heaven has been hidden. It has been hid. It is in there. It is working. You are in there. And you are to be in there. And therefore, the kingdom of heaven will be firmly and eternally established. We need to remember that the kingdom of heaven started off small and hardly noticeable. And then, like leaven, it permeates and transforms into something that may not have been expected compared to how it started. Look at Jesus. He came, one man, began proclaiming the gospel. Then he called out 12 disciples, and then what happened? It grew. But it was also met with lots of challenges and threats, but the kingdom of heaven still grew. And it even seemed to suddenly stop with Jesus' crucifixion and his death on the cross. But the kingdom of heaven did not stop because of the unshakable promise of God. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 9 states boldly that the word of God cannot be chained. You can't stop the leaven of the kingdom of heaven. Infancy, the development, the finality and maturity of the kingdom is seen right throughout the New Testament, from the Gospels and right into today. And then into the future as we read Revelation. And it means a lot. It means a lot for us as his born again people. This is significant as there are some more of the indestructible, hope-filled realities of the kingdom of heaven. And some of them are that your sanctification will be complete, your salvation is realized in all its glorious fullness, justice for all the wrongs that you've faced in this life will be dealt with, it will be executed by God, all the health issues that you face or will face will be gone forever. All the dead family and friends whom you miss and love, who follow a risen Jesus Christ, will themselves have risen, and we will join together with them one day, united in Christ. And all the enemies of God who reject Jesus Christ in this life will be eternally under his just wrath. And that is the bad news of the gospel, that sinners deserve the wrath of God because of their sins. And they will be thrown into the lake of fire or eternal hell, which is inescapable, and to suffer unending torment. And all of this echoes the unshakable promise of Jesus that he declared boldly, unapologetically and very clearly, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And so we who are redeemed by Jesus, you, the church, have indestructible hope that the end is certain and eternally glorious, and it will be perfect. Now, our second application from this parable builds on the first, and we ask again, why is the kingdom of heaven like leaven? And we ask this sobering thought to reflect on. Number two, you have God who has unstoppable power, and that gives you convergent purpose. That word convergent, a big word, means that everything tends to move towards one point. And we will discover what that one point is. And so we ask, as we look into this application, why? Why do we need this parable to challenge us, the church, to understand and live out that God has unstoppable power and that you have purpose? It is because the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. We know that something which is rather insignificant in of itself, like leaven, is able to permeate the flour mix in a rather significant and positive way. And this permeating effect is what I want you to see this morning. And not only that, to know and to apply in your life the life Jesus saved you to. And this is for us believers in Jesus Christ. You are the kingdom of leaven. You are like the leaven named Roberta, Robola, Vitus, good old Billy. But for us, you are the leaven of the kingdom. You have a name. Do I need to name your name this morning to wake you up? And you are to have a permeating effect, that convergent purpose in this world for our Lord Jesus Christ. You are to be mingled into every square inch of the places that God has placed you in, including OBC. And the question is, are you doing that now? If you're not doing that, when are you going to do that? When are you going to act like the leaven of the kingdom of heaven? And so you, fellow fathers, for example, are in the trenches of the war against worldly influence, or the ones who will train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old will not depart from it. And you, dear mothers, maybe you feel that you are stuck at home having given up a good career. But you are the Lois, you are the Eunices, the frontline ones who will pass on the gospel stewardship to your daughters, to your children. And you are beloved students. It's exam time, isn't it? Do you find that you're buried in the books, grasping for air? Don't forget, you are the ones who permeate your campuses and make disciples of all nations. You, the employee who's going in to work, clocking in day after day, and you are to be the leaven in your workplace. Don't forget that. Don't forget you have a purpose. Ephesians 6:7 says that you are to render service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, so that the owner of that company you work for is going to prosper because of your diligence serving the Lord in your workplace. And of course, that he might or she might know the gospel. And you, the retired senior leaven, God says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts, Psalm 145. And so permeate the lives of younger believers who are sitting around you this morning. Do you know them? Do you know your younger brothers and sisters? Pray for them. Share with them your life, how God has brought that crown of gray to you. And help them, nurture them. They are the youth, and show them the youth of your own days for the glory of Christ. And there's so much more we can do if you don't fit in one of these categories. But all of that is to say that all of this is under the unstoppable power of God. And you have a convergent purpose because you are leaven. And therefore, Jesus in this parable is reminding you, he is drawing those who have an ear to hear into reflection as we understand this parable. In fact, the application is that he is drawing you into action. He's not calling you just to sit there to warm up the pews. Because when leaven is hid into a measure of flour, what does Jesus say is the result? And that brings us to the end of verse 33. The answer is action. The effective end result is, as Jesus said, it was all leavened. You are the kingdom of leaven. And therefore, live your life for him in this local church gathering and in the part of the world that God has placed you in. You are the body of Christ, are you not? You are the hands. You are the feet that will carry the good news. You are the ambassadors for Christ. And so the aspect of the kingdom of heaven in the here and now of 2024 and beyond calls you to stewardship living, aided by the unstoppable power of God. Because we are in Christ, we have a share in the kingdom. You're the ones in the kingdom of heaven today and forever. And what a blessing that is. And everything you do should lead to a convergent purpose for Christ Jesus. And may I remind you what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 states in light of our salvation. It says, for we are his workmanship, or if I make it more personal, you are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So let us walk in them. The proliferation of gospel graces goes forth through you. I don't know if you think about that every day when you wake up. How is God going to use me today? That the Great Commission is your imperative as the leaven of the kingdom of God, and our great God and Savior will build his kingdom. It is a promise. So how you spend your life serving the Lord's purposes can be very significant. God may have you in a very low position in life, or maybe he has given you a stewardship of much in this earthly life. But whatever that is, whatever situation you find yourself, or more importantly, God has placed you in, you have a purpose. And so whatever you dedicate to the Lord is permeating, and it can be used by God because of his unstoppable power working through you, decisively brings about the continuity of his kingdom toward the eternal state, heaven. And so we keep in mind heaven, and yet we remain on earth. And so in response to our salvation, the only acceptable worship of God is to offer ourselves fully unto the Lord. We need to be sold out to him. We have to have all in for Christ in order to be able to be that leaven of the kingdom of God. So let us serve him, and let us serve him well. When we follow Jesus' parable in this regard, then we are able to be transformed in our thinking, being saturated by the Word of God, submitting and obeying God's Word, and we are to abide in Christ. We are to bear fruit, and we are to bear much fruit, which is a sign, one of the signs, indications that we are truly born again, John 15. And being leavened, we find that our bottom line daily calls us to right gospel living. And so let us reaffirm that our time, our all, our materials, Everything belongs to God. And that things that occupy our hours and our week, like school or work, it is not our life. It is not the goal of our life in the kingdom. It's not our end game, as some would say. Our life is in Christ alone, as we sung this morning. And so live your life for Him in this local church gathering. Live your life in the part of the world that God has placed you in. Don't forget about that. And so as we close, for us Christians, whether young or mature in the faith, we have discovered in this parable that this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call if you're asleep, if your ears are plugged. That we are to live our life in the unstoppable power of Jesus. In fact, His Spirit indwells in you. And so that all people will know that we are saved by His grace, that God has given us Jesus not for us to keep, but His good news is to be given away, is to be proclaimed. It is to be offered to all. And it is God's gospel. It is not ours. And so we must fulfill our identity as leaven by permeating everything that we are in contact with and proclaim the gospel truth. And as we do that, God in His sovereignty will make it grow. He will make it grow. He will make our church grow. Most importantly, He'll make you grow. Because you are the ones who will be in the kingdom of heaven forever. And as the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers," you the beloved of Christ, "be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." You are the kingdom of leaven. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful. We are thankful and humbled by your mercy. We're humbled by your mercy and grace by giving us your word this morning. And awake us, Lord, because we are often dull of hearing. We often slumber more than we are alert to your purposes. But you have called us in Christ. You have given us a purpose, and that purpose has been established before the foundations of this world, that we are to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to serve the church, the people. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to do that. Because you know that some of us are not serving you and serving your purposes. We're serving ourselves. And some of us are serving you, and yet we are also serving ourselves. And so help us, Lord. Help us to come before you, to shed off anything that would hinder us from running the race of faith faithfully. And Lord, you know our hearts are sometimes adrift. And Lord, we thank you because you are changing our hearts. The indwelling Holy Spirit sanctifying us, making us more holy, making us more useful for you. And Lord, we know that the days are short. And as we long for heaven, Lord, you have left us here so that we might serve you. And so, Lord, help us, give us strength, help us to persevere through the difficulties of this world. But yet, Christ, you have overcome this world. You are our hope. You indeed are the gospel. And so, Lord, we commit this to you. And we pray that you would help us. Help us to examine our lives before you. And so that we might stand firm as one body here at OBC for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all of this in his name. Amen.